Well, good morning. I'm happy to share with you a little bit about the call to action. For those of you who are already intimately familiar with this document, I have to apologize up front. My job is to give you overview and content for the rest of the session. So the intent here is really just to get everybody on the same page, making sure we all have the same background information about it. I have no relationships to disclose. Let me start by just giving a little bit of the history of kind of how this document came about. This was a kind of joint idea between Suzanne Haynes at the Office of Women's Health and myself. I wrote a proposal to the Office of the Surgeon General suggesting, wouldn't it be really nice to have a call to action from your office about breastfeeding? And worked with that office. This was prior to Dr. Benjamin actually being nominated for the office, so I was working in an interim capacity there and convinced them that this really was a topic that was ready for a call to action. We knew what to do. It was an important public health issue, and it really would be appropriate for the Surgeon General to step out in this direction. They, of course, couldn't make any promises, not knowing who the Surgeon General would be, but we started the work on putting it together. Formed a federal steering committee. I was the scientific editor, and Suzanne was the managing editor. That steering committee included a number of different departments across HHS, as well as the Department of Agriculture. We did a number of different things to try and get input as to what ought to be in such a document. So we did an expert panel meeting, bringing together experts on a wide variety of areas that we thought were important for the support of breastfeeding, and really picked their brains on what needed to be in a call to action. What would you call this nation to do in order to be more supportive? We had public input from across the country, anyone who wanted to give us ideas, and we had a total of 2,354 ideas across the country submitted to it. We also had stakeholder hearings with many organizations that were interested in breastfeeding. We worked with the public sector as well as the private sector and brought the formula industry and the breast pump industry, chambers of commerce, all to come to us and tell us what they thought ought to be in such a document. And at that point, we kind of went into privacy mode. The federal government decided, all right, we're going to take all of this input and try and write what we think needs to happen. So we wrote the document and worked it through many, many months of clearance across all of the agencies within HHS, USDA, and cross-clearance across other departments as well. So what did we actually decide to put into this? There are many things that this document is and that it is not. It is about support for breastfeeding. It is not about promotion of breastfeeding. We really took a frame that there are many women in this country who do intend to breastfeed and try to breastfeed and have lots of problems. And we want to address the barriers that they are encountering. We're not pushing breastfeeding on those who do not want to. We're trying to address what are the issues that stand in the way of breastfeeding. We really took a focus on let's change the environment to be supportive. This was not about individual behaviors. It wasn't how long should you breastfeed, when should you start, how many times should you breastfeed in a day? We felt that that was being handled already by professional organizations, and we didn't need another recommendation out about that. So we were really focusing on how do we change the environment. We took a long-term horizon. This is the first call to action where the Surgeon General has actually made such a statement, but we've had various policy documents from the government before, the last one being the Blueprint for Action back in 2000. So we felt like these kinds of documents come out maybe on a every decade basis. So we're not just looking at what's going to happen in the next year or two. We really want to see what should our trajectory be for the next decade. And so some things that we're calling for here, we know we're not going to be able to take direct action on and make the success within a one-year time period. We really are looking for what will we be doing over the course of the next decade. We look for opportunities for positive change. We weren't just saying, what are the problems? Isn't this terrible? But actually, where can we actually make a difference? And we looked at a wide variety of people and places where changes can happen. It was not just directed at what the federal government should do. It was not just directed at what clinicians should do. We really were looking across a full spectrum of actors in this. So I just want to set some of the context that we had going into this. We've been seeing increases in breastfeeding. This has been an area in public health where we've certainly seen significant success over the last couple of decades. However, we were looking at a context in which we still were not on track for meeting the Healthy People 2010 objectives for breastfeeding. Those objectives actually were made back in 1990. They were the same objectives that we had for the year 2000. We didn't achieve them, so we said, well, let's give ourselves another 10 years. and still at the end of the decade had not achieved what we had set out to achieve. We also have a context in which there are significant disparities in breastfeeding, African Americans being much less likely to initiate breastfeeding and to continue breastfeeding, significant socioeconomic disparities. And our programs in supporting breastfeeding need to be taking into account how are we really going to address those populations that are the least likely to breastfeed and continue breastfeeding. We also saw that we had a context in which there are many barriers to breastfeeding existing out there. There's lack of knowledge about why, about how. There are social norms that say this is not the way we normally feed babies in this country. We have poor support structures in families, in social support. We have a society in which we make women feel embarrassed about breastfeeding, either in public or even in their own private lives, that they don't want to admit, they don't want to talk. We find that the word breastfeeding is a scary word. We recognize that there are lots of problems with physiology and what goes on with lactation. Issues with employment and childcare setting up barriers to breastfeeding, and barriers within the healthcare system that don't provide the adequate support and often insist on behaviors that are contrary to breastfeeding. So with this context, we set out and said, well, what can we do? And there are six areas that we've focused our attention on: mothers and their families, communities, healthcare, employment, research, and public health infrastructure. And we thought about these in terms of a socio-ecologic model. Now, oftentimes you've seen the socio-ecologic model with the rings just talking very generally about institutional support. We wanted to make that a little more concrete. And so you start with the mother and the baby is where the actual action has to happen. That's where the breastfeeding has to be. But she's surrounded by many people in her small network of family, friends, that have direct impact on the decisions that she makes and her success with the decisions that she makes. But then there are others in her larger circle, the clinicians that she comes in contact with, her employer, childcare providers, people that also have huge impact on her breastfeeding, but they may not be her every single day making all the decisions with her. And then we go out to larger and larger networks. There are places that have impacts, hospitals, work sites. There are organizations that impact on those behaviors. And ultimately, when we get out to the outside, we're looking at national organizations that set policies, that set the infrastructure, that impinge on all of the decisions that can be made at multiple levels within this hierarchy. As we were thinking about the call to action, we were really looking at this whole framework of all of the actors that have an impact on that mother and baby, ultimately. So what did we come up with? I'm not going to go over all of the details of all of the action steps and the implementation strategies. You're certainly welcome to read those on your own. But just to give you a brief understanding of what the issues are that we're looking at. We wanted to talk to mothers, but we don't talk to mothers saying, you should breastfeed. We talk to mothers saying, you should find someone to help you. Share your plans with your family. Talk to your provider so that your provider knows what you want to do. We had an action step about fathers and grandmothers being a key audience that can provide that kind of support to the mother directly and indirectly in the things that they say. We had four action steps related to communities, about strengthening mother-to-mother support groups, about getting community-based organizations, especially in communities of color, in low-income communities, that they would be providing breastfeeding support as part of the services that they provide in those communities. Talked about a national breastfeeding campaign. Talked about formula marketing. Now, we as the federal government are not in a position of saying we're not going to allow there to be marketing, but we did say we're going to call for the formula companies to do their marketing in a way that does not impinge on breastfeeding. And basically, we're calling upon the industry itself to comply with the code and call upon institutions to actually monitor what their compliance is with the code. In healthcare, we talked about maternity care practices as a major initiative, trying to advance the baby-friendly hospital initiative, make incremental changes in improving maternity care practices. Talked about gaps in continuity of care so that women are not left leaving the hospital going, now where do I turn for help with breastfeeding? That there's a continuity connecting them into systems within their communities and private care providers. Talked about education for clinicians across the spectrum of clinicians that are working with mothers and babies. establishing quality care standards so that this is built into our standards of care prenatally, postnatally, that it is an expectation in any of those contacts that breastfeeding will be included. We talked about lactation care teams, particularly utilizing certified professionals, IBCLCs, as a resource with reimbursement and access in all of our communities. Talked about donor milk banks and making those more accessible and understanding the issues of when and where we need to be using donor milk banks. In the area of employment, we had four action steps related to paid maternity leave, related to improving lactation support programs within employment. Those included implementation of the Affordable Care Act standards, as well as broader lactation programs to provide more support at the employment site. That action step was largely focused on making it possible for women to express milk at the work site. But we said that that's not going to be enough. We also need to be having systems for improving direct access to babies so that breastfeeding can happen at the breast, not only with express breast milk. So talked about things like access to childcare on site, bring your baby to work programs, extended maternity leave, extended telecommuting opportunities. Talked about improving accommodations at childcare providers. Within the area of research and surveillance, we certainly called for more research and more funding for research. Within that, we didn't want to just say research in general, so we focused in on three key areas, focusing in on barriers to breastfeeding in populations that have low rates to really address disparities issues. Talked about economic research so that we can really make the economic case for breastfeeding, and best practices for management and support of lactation, really dealing with many of those lactation issues that continue to be complicated, and how do we deal with certain special situations for breastfeeding. Talked about needing to build a bigger cadre of people who do research in breastfeeding. We know that we're not going to see more breastfeeding research just because someone calls for it. We have to have the researchers who are interested in putting forward their proposals. And then finally, we talked about improving our monitoring systems, particularly in monitoring the environment and policy. How are we going to know if we're making a difference in all of these actions if we don't have systems in place to track us forward? And then the final, the 20th action step, was to improve national leadership. This is both at the federal level and at the coordination level, particularly focused on the U.S. Breastfeeding Committee and its work with state coalitions. So I talked earlier about that there are many, many actors within this. Within the document, you can turn to Appendix 1, where we took each of these action steps, and we actually said, now, who should the actor be for that? We said possible actors. We're certainly not pinpointing you must do one particular action, but at least gives us an idea of what are the types of institutions that we should be turning to see these actions taking place and implementation. Those actors cover a wide spectrum, from government all the way down to mothers themselves. If you're thinking about how to implement the call to action, there are a variety of things that I encourage you to think about. First of all, what kind of population impact can you have? And one thing that I think that we've tried to do in this call to action is to get people to think at higher levels. Rather than really focusing on, let's provide a good lactation room at the county fair, let's take this up to a higher level and really change maternity care practices. Let's change our laws about paid maternity leave. Let's really think about the big picture that we can have large population impact. Certainly, you also have to think about what do you already have going on. Build upon the successes that you have, partners that you've already built relationships with. Where are there financial resources that you can tap into? And think about what's already existing and where you see potential for those partners and resources that you may be able to garner for this. Of course, I also think that we need to be focused in on our passions. People are most excited about working on things that they already have some interest in. And if we can build upon those things rather than telling people to do something that they don't understand and they don't have a passion about, we'll get much more success. And finally, we need to think about the political environment. Where is the political will for the kinds of actions that we're calling for? We know that that changes over time, and you need to be paying attention to where are those winnable battles? What are the things that we can actually see success on in the next year or two, and focus our attention getting those things to happen? To disseminate the call to action, we certainly have access to the full document itself. I brought a few copies up here on the front table if you've not been able to get a copy of it yourself. If we've run out here, I know that there are also copies at the Office of Women's Health booth over in the exhibit hall. If you still can't get any, please send us an email at CDC and we'll be happy to send you a copy of the document. We also have many copies of the executive summaries if you'd like to take those and disseminate them to meetings where you don't want to have a large stack of these. The video of the actual launch is available on site, and I think that many people can use many of the speeches that were given there as clips that can be used to garner attention to this document. At CDC, we're also developing action guides that are taking components of the call to action and targeting to specific audiences. So we have a one-pager front and back that's oriented specifically to physicians. What does the call to action tell physicians that they should be doing? Same thing for nurses, healthcare leaders. Those first three are actually available on our website at CDC right now. The other four are in clearance, hopefully will be available within the next month or two. So I want to thank you for your time this morning. The information that I've talked about today is all available at CDC's website as well as the Surgeon General's website at these URLs right here. Thank you very much.